In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Tonight's message is going to be a completion of what we've been talking about for some time now in the 8th chapter of John. Tonight we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective. I want you to see how Jesus preaches a sermon and how you listen to a sermon. And then you'll be able to decide. Now, personally, I believe that I'm blessed and I preach just like Jesus preaches. So I believe and I thank God that I am preaching just as he preached this message. And you thank God that you can see that you're listening to it just like these people did. And then when the message is over, that won't be true anymore. Because you see, if it was already true, we could just skip on to another message. I wouldn't be here. So the fact that I'm here to preach it means I'm preaching this way. And the fact that you're here to hear it means you listen this way. John 8:30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The message, the sermon is always to those that believe on him. And always the message has the message that we must continue in his word, not in your emotions, not in your own opinions, and certainly not in your experiences, but in his word. Then we are disciples, learners. The minute you become a learner or a disciple or a pupil, that's what it means, a pupil. Now, I know who the pupils are because I can see the pupils. Now, when you're checking out your shoes and your wristwatches and everything else, I see no pupils. And when I see no eyeballs, I see no pupils. And if I see no pupils, I see no learners. And if I see no learners, I see no disciples. And if you're not a disciple, it's because you don't continue in his word, and you'll never know the truth. And therefore, you won't be free until Jesus returns bodily. So, we are to be disciples, we are to know the truth, and we are to understand that the truth makes us free. Now, why would we fight such a message? Because that is the message. That is the gospel. Once you're saved, this is the gospel. Continue in my word. How did you get saved? In the word. Okay, now continue in the word. Become a learner. Don't come and teach me. Don't come and tell me where I'm wrong. Don't come and try to fit. Be a disciple. Be a learner. Then you know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. That's what the message is all about. They're all the same. Every single message is about making you free from something. Pizza, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's to make you free. Now, you would think that that would be a message that everybody could understand and accept, but it isn't. Now, at the end of that message in verse 32, there's a period there, as we said before. That means that's the mark. That's the end. There's no more. That's all Jesus had to say. Now, for those of us that accept that, we see the mark. We don't miss it. We see there's a mark. That's the end of it. We say, thank you, Lord. Now, for those of you that miss the mark, you just committed a sin. You're not going to share in the prize. Those that miss the mark go on to verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou we shall be made free? So the first answer, the first inclination for those that don't want to be disciples is to defend themselves. Now look what you're defending yourself from. You're defending yourself from continuing in the word, being a disciple, knowing the truth, and being free. Now that's plain stupid to defend yourself from that. But the first inclination is to defend yourself. Defend or answer also means to conclude for yourself. In other words, you don't like the truth. So you want to make up your own mind what the truth is. You want to add your own end. You don't like the period God put there, so you want to put your own. So the first inclination is to defend yourself. So we're off to the races. Now in verse 34, Jesus said, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." So Jesus is now answering the question, you're not free. You do what your father does. And then he put a period after that. No, we're going to miss that mark too. So they answered again. See, so the first thing you do is you'll defend yourself. The second thing you'll do is you'll answer unto him, just like they did, 8:39. They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Just like you do. "Well, my dad was a good man. And my mother, what? She was the salt of the earth." Why, that woman, just honey would drip off her lips. Bears were always chasing her just for the honey, just for the privilege of licking her chin. Why, my mother? Yes. Oh, there's a demon dancing around in her head. Just like in all the rest of us. But see, the first thing you do, because the first attack is to tell you your daddy and your mama did it. It's where you come from. And the first thing you do is defend your father Abraham. The first thing you do is defend your earthly father, your earthly mother, your tradition, how you learned it. You're not going to accept that they did wrong. Why? Because they loved you. Don't care, they loved you wrong. So see, just like them, you are the same way. The first thing you do is you say, "Are you saying my daddy?" And why, they did the best they could. Isn't that sad? I look at you and I say, "You are the best that they could?" Well, I wouldn't. Listen, if my children ever say that, I'll slap them. I said, "Don't say that when I'm around, please. Don't say that in front of anybody that we both know. That is not the best I could do." Or rather, it is. And I'm ashamed of it. Because at that time, I didn't know what I know now. But yeah, that was the best I could do, but it was no good. So you see, what they do is the first thing they do, is like you do, is you go back to your tradition and say, "It can't be, because my mother loved me." Well, then why did you turn out the way that you did? And then if we look at your children, we'll see what jerks they are, and then you love them, but look at them. And the beat goes on. So see, defending your earthly father is not the answer, because I'm not attacking your earthly father. I'm attacking what your earthly father taught you, which is what his earthly father taught him, which began with Adam, who learned from Eve, who learned from the devil. So you see, for you to defend your family, your tradition, and your custom is an exercise in futility, because that's what I'm attacking, but you're defending your dad and your mother personally. I'm attacking what they taught you. So then they say, "Abraham is our father." And like you say, "Well, my dad is, he would never do that." Well, let's see. You take drugs, your daddy took drugs. You eat too much, your daddy eats too much. You eat beans and tortillas, your daddy ate beans and tortillas. You eat spaghetti and meatballs, your daddy ate spaghetti and meatballs. I don't care what it is, that's where you learned it. So then the Lord says, "Well, let's check this out and see who is your daddy." He says, "Now, if you were your daddy's child, you would do the works of your daddy. Now, why is it when you took drugs and you lied and cheated, your dad beat the hell out of you? Because they weren't his works, were they? He was just as much against it as you are. He knew what was wrong. That's why he beat you for doing what he was doing. Even today, he criticizes you for the very thing that you do, which is the very thing that he does. So you see, if you were doing the works of your dad, he wouldn't have any problem. What you're doing is the works of his dad. Not your dad, his dad, which is the devil. But he says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now, I'm going to ask you something. As far as I know, with few exceptions, as most of you, I don't even know your parents. They have never treated me the way you do. They have never talked to me the way that you do. I don't even know them. Now, I can't say that with all of you. With some of you here, yes, your parents have given me a bad time. To you, yes, you do the deeds of your father because you give me a bad time too. But most of you, I don't even know your parents. Now, if we go back all the way to Abraham, Abraham never did that to me. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. So now that you, the preacher's on to you, say, no, you're not doing the deeds of God. You're doing the deeds of your father because God doesn't smoke, God doesn't drink, God doesn't snort, and God doesn't eat pizza. He doesn't eat unclean. You do. So how could God be your father? I didn't say he wasn't your Savior. I didn't even say he wasn't your God. I said he's not your Father. Because Father means the one that starts and originates something. And God did not start this habit you have, whatever it is. So then we back off of that. And in John 8:41, they did exactly what you do. Then said they to him, we meet not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So now it's God loves us all. I'm a child of God. I didn't say you weren't. I said you're doing the deeds of your father. What I said is you're doing things to me and to yourself that God didn't do to me or to himself. So see, now you try to back off and say, well, God loves everybody. Yes, he does. And we're all saved. Yes, we are. But you're still doing the deeds of your father, the devil. Whether you're saved or not. So see, what they did is they changed the subject. First, they said, I'm going to defend my earthly father. When that didn't work, they say, well, God loves me and I'm his child. And that doesn't work either because Jesus said, if God was your father, you are his child. See, God's doing it right. He says, you are my child. So God is right. He promised you that you would be his child. Now, but you don't want him to be your father because you're doing what somebody else tells you. That's why Jesus said, do not call anybody on this earth, Father. He says you have one Father which is in heaven, which means you can claim two, but you're not supposed to. So you claim Heavenly Father in church and Earthly Father whenever it's convenient. So now we have the tradition, what's happening here. First, you defend your father, and then you try to defend yourself with your Christianity. Now, Jesus says, all right, let's talk about your Christianity. Let's talk about all this goodness that you do. Because God is your father. You said so. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. As I said this morning, it doesn't say you would believe me. It said, if God were your father, you would love me. Say, well, how could I, what does that mean? I said, look, I don't give you half the time that you give me. I come to you with good news. I come to you with sermons. I come to you with counseling. I come to you with help. I come to you with whatever you ask me for. And you have a hard time loving me. Now, what do you come to me with? Excuses, gossip, moaning and groaning, pain, blaming other people, cycling the same thing over and over again, and I have no problem loving you. Don't particularly like you, but I love you. Now, if I can love you, seeing how you are towards me, why can't you love me, seeing how I am towards you? Not that I don't have problems. I just don't bring them to you, and I don't blame you for them. And I don't come and tell you about other people. Whenever I talk to you, I talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk to you about the truth. Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean that's all I ever talk about and I never say anything wrong. I just never say it to you. So he said, if God were your father, you would love me. Because after all, I came to tell you, if you continue in my word, become a disciple, you shall know the truth and you shall be free of everything. Now, why do you have a hard time loving me for that? So you see what the problem is. He said, look, if God, if you were really as Christian as you say you are, your problem isn't that you hate each other. I can understand why you hate each other. As a matter of fact, and from an earthly point of view, I'm entirely in agreement that you don't like each other. But if God were your father, you would love me. Because even though I have my problems, I don't bring them to you. I come and I bring to you only what you ask me for. I cannot say that about you. Have I ever called you and asked you for the stuff you bring me? No. Then Jesus goes on, he says, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So you see, I know what sends you to me. Sickness, pain, anger, depression, criticism, judgment, lying, all the wrong things. When things are wrong, that's what sends you to me. And what sends me to you? Everything that's right. I'm here with right. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have wrong. I mean, wrong doesn't send me to you. Right sends me to you. And you have to understand this, and I know you know it. You never call me when something is right, only when it's wrong. So wrong sends you to me, and I still love you. Right sends me to you, and you don't love me. You see how perverted this thing is? You see how Satan wants you to look at the man who's preaching the word, just like they looked at Jesus. Man, I'm traveling in good company here. Verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Why can you not hear my word? He explains it in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. In other words, you'll do the things and like the things and do the things your daddy did and does, because that's where you learned them. Your dad taught you and your mother nurtured and fed it and took care of it and protected it. And that's why you are what you are. You're doing the lusts of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, you are, you see, he says, you are of your father, the devil. But then he says, and the lusts of your father you will do. Now, why didn't he say, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of the devil you will do? Two fathers. See, you have an unenviable situation where you see double. You have double mind, double vision. So we know that the devil is the father of all evil. But you want two fathers. You want one on earth who's evil and one in heaven, or one in hell who's evil. Because when you turn around, you look at the heavenly father who's good, then you want an earthly father that's good too. See, you always want two of everything. Greedy. One is enough. Take my word for it. So he says, you are of your father the devil, and therefore you do the lusts of your father, which is your earthly father, which taught the devil taught your father, because the devil taught your father's father, and so on down the line. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now understand, the excuse now is, we're Christians, God loves us, and I'm under grace. And he says, yeah, but you're a murderer. And you've been a murderer from the beginning. You've been killing yourself for a long time. You eat wrong, smoke wrong, breathe wrong, talk wrong, drink wrong, act wrong, talk wrong, think wrong. Everything is wrong. You kill yourself. You're killing yourself. Plus, you're killing your marriage and everything else you put your grubby little hands on is dying. You've been a murderer from the beginning. If you're such a good Christian, if Christianity is where you're going to hide, why are you doing the things you do? Wouldn't it be smarter to be like me and say, hey, I'm a sinner, man. I'm not going to, because the Lord will remind you of what you're doing. No, thank you. I'd rather he forget what I'm doing. And now how can I do that? Confess. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Just like you. Every time you lie, you protect yourself. As I said this morning, you never tell a lie to protect somebody else. Only yourself. You lie to protect your own lie. But you told me you were a good Christian. You told me you were under grace. Poor grace. This poor woman is the most maligned person on the face of this earth. See, grace is not a who, it's a what. For he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of it. Now, verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, because all you know is lies. The only thing you can hear is lies, because that's what you protect yourself with. Your life is made up of lies. So the truth puts you to sleep. It's hypnotic. Because, see, the truth is stronger than your lie. So the only way that you can keep the truth from going in, it's got to shut you down, put you to sleep, so you can't hear it. Now, verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? Now he said, now I know your sin, but you don't know. Now in Jesus' case, he had no sin. But in my case, I do, but you don't know what it is. But I know yours. So I can convince you of sin, but you can't convince me. For two reasons. Number one, I haven't told you. And number two, I've already confessed it to the Lord and have been forgiven, or I wouldn't be here preaching with power and authority. And if I say the truth, now he says, which of you convinces me of sin? And I challenge you all this morning. I challenge one of you to tell me what my sin is, since I'm forgiven and you don't know anyway. Well, if you don't know, and I didn't say there wasn't any sin, I said you don't know it. Well, if I say the truth, if you can't find any sin in me, why don't you believe me? I found it in you. Was I looking? No, you came and told me. The Holy Spirit of God came and told you to tell me. He didn't tell me to tell you mine, though. So see, I can convince you of sin. You cannot convince me. But we're both sinners. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear not, because you are not of God. So see, there goes your Christianity right out the window. First you defended your parents, your tradition, your custom. Then you tried to hide in the fact that God was your father, and we just shot that all to hell. So now you're going to change the subject again. And what's the newest excuse? Verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? In other words, Jesus just proved you're the one that's acting like a devil. I said, no, not us. So you've proved that God is, we're not acting like our Father. So now they changed the subject and said, well, you are a Samaritan and you have a devil. In other words, now they're trying to find fault in the preacher. Now, in his case, there was no fault. In mine, there is. But even if you knew my fault, how would that help you? If you're 30 pounds overweight, how is knowing my fault going to help you lose the weight? I'm not 30 pounds overweight. How is knowing my fault going to help you stop smoking or drugging or doing... I don't do those things. And I'm not going to talk about what I do. It's none of your business. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter if I have devils running in one ear and out the other, that's not going to help you. There's more than enough devils to go around, isn't there? So see, now they're attacking Jesus, saying, you're a Samaritan. So? And on top of that, you have a devil. He said, all right, let's deal with that then. Let's see if I have a devil. Jesus answered in verse 49, I have not a devil. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Now, Jesus said, God said, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. So see, I honor my Father when I feed his sheep. And what do you do to me? What do you do to each other? He says, you dishonor the Father. Why? Because you don't do what the Father told you to do. And then, so that you don't get all uppity and think that this is some self-righteous thing that I'm going through, I'll show you what he meant when he said, I honor my Father. Verse 50, very next verse. He says, I seek not mine own glory. I don't come to you and say, would you loan me this or give me that or listen to my problems or help me with this or that. I'm not seeking my own glory. Always I say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And there's not a person sitting in this room that can say that if you asked for something that was right and proper and I had it, that you didn't get it. So I seek not mine own glory. But when you come to me, it's because God isn't producing. Your husband's doing something wrong. Your wife's doing something wrong. I'm doing something wrong. Your boss is doing something wrong. Everybody's doing something wrong. But you, you're seeking your own glory. You want me to tell you you're right. And Jesus said, look, I can tell you the one that has not a devil seeks not his own glory. The one that has a devil seeks his own glory. Blames everybody for everything. Or denies that anything's wrong. Even though they can, you can see and they admit something's wrong. No, that's all right. I'm suffering for the Lord. Verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Never. Now it's time to change the subject again. See what he's really telling them. Look, if you were of the Father, you wouldn't be afraid of what you're afraid of. He says, and if you keep my sayings, by the way, if you listen to what I say, you will never see death. And they said, oh boy, now we know you have a devil. Because you said, we shall never taste of death. So see, they changed it again. So then Jesus dealt with that and proved to them that they're not going to see or taste. Are they done yet? See, because you always say, well, I'm going to heaven anyway. God understands. I know you're going to heaven anyway. All I'm trying to tell you is you're in hell right now. Where you're going is not the issue, and where you've been is not the issue. See, I've been in a lot of good places, but I'm not there now. And I've been in a lot of bad places, but I'm not there now. And I'm going to be in some better places, but I'm not there now. So what's the only thing that's important to me? Where am I? Where am I? Well, I am where the I am is. That's where am I. So see, what God is really saying here is we've just stripped away all of your silly excuses. But now they're going to change the subject again. See, you can't prove that I have a devil. You know I don't. I'm telling you the truth. They couldn't prove he had a devil because he was treating them the way God treats them. I treat you the way God treats you. Now, how I treat myself is another issue. But I treat you like God treats you. I said, well, we can't prove this man has a devil then. Well, he says, I know what's wrong with you. You think you're God then. Can you see the insanity of this? They just accused him of being a devil, and they couldn't get that. So I said, well, we got you now. Now we think you're God. You think you're God, don't you? Appreciate the brother this morning. Says, when I called and talked to the Lord, he did. And the Lord is here right now. Here I am. My name is Reuben Galvis, and I am the Lord. And I'm here with a message from the Lord of Lords. I don't have any problem being the Lord. Man, you shouldn't have any problem being a Lord. As long as you know that we have a Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But instead you want to be some pussy-footing, wimpy, hamburger-swilling excuse for a man. Listen, if Sarah could call Abraham Lord, woman, pay attention. People, pay attention. I have no problem being the Lord. But I know just as sure as I'm standing here, there's a Lord of Lords. Now, I know there is no Lord of Wimps. Is there? Where have you seen these Lord of Wimps? And King of Pussy Willows. If you want Jesus to be your head, then you better act like the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's not the Lord of weaklings and excuse makers. You don't talk like Jesus, you don't act like Jesus, you don't think like Jesus, so therefore you can't be a Lord who has the Lord. You cannot be. There's no way. Boy, that's good. I got away from the message. Somebody asked that question out there. Somebody was answering. But now, as I said before, now, they try to say, you have a devil, Reuben. Wow, this man is evil as they come. And then they can't prove it, so they said, wow, okay. He thinks he's God then. Boy, they just went to the other extreme, didn't they? That's what they're going to do to Jesus right here. Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, how, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? See? You see, let me tell you how this works. See, the minute you get to the point where you say, where they say, God, this guy knows something, the minute you say, how old is he? You want me to roll up my pants leg and you can check the rings like they do on a tree? What good would it do you? Absolutely none whatsoever. I wonder how old he is. Makes no difference. I know how old you are, too. Because remember, anything with the mentality of a two-year-old under is an idiot. And you are an idiot. How do I know you're an idiot? Because you act like an idiot. You have a two-year-old mind. You're acting like you did as a two-year-old. That makes you an idiot. See, it isn't how chronologically old you are, it's how you act. And you act, as I said, like a two-year-old. There's another sermon I wish I had time for. Jesus, in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh man, this is it. Because, see, the Jews knew that in the book of Exodus, God spoke from the bush and he said, you tell him, I am. I am that I am. In other words, I am God. Wow, you're saying you're God? Well, see, Jesus knew what they were leading up to. I know what you're leading up to, and I'm saying, yeah, that's exactly what he says. Now, Jesus said, I'm God. I'm the Lord. Before Abraham was, I am. Didn't say I was, he says I am. Now let me tell you what happened with the Jews, because their mind immediately went back to Exodus. You didn't even turn there, but in Exodus 3:14 it says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. This man says God sent him, and now he's saying he is God. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, here I am saying to you, Jesus is God. He is the I am. And the I am hath sent me unto you. It's time to end this debate, isn't it? It's not me talking. I'm sent of God. I am here to tell you the I am sent me. In other words, when push comes to shove, Jesus finally said, now we finally found something we can agree on. Yes, I am God. I am the I am. And he says, and furthermore, to those of you that are coming along in 1988, the I am is going to be there too, because the I am is going to send the I am there. He's going to send the am I there to you. So see, now I can say, the I Am hath sent me unto you. That's who sent me. And yes, I'm speaking with the authority, the wisdom, and the power of God. I don't care whether you like it or not. That's it. Now, it's always that way. We get to a point in counseling, we get to a point in the message, and I finally say, I don't care what you say. This is the way it is. I'll meet you wherever you want and tell you again. It's always a challenge, isn't it? And I always say, this is God's word, and I challenge you. And then here comes the last one. This is the one, I hope you understand this one, because this is the crux of the whole message. Oh, yes, he's right. Well, you can't make any more excuses. We shot your mother and dad out of the water. We shot your Christianity out of the water, or the lust of your... You're done. And now you realize that I am sent of God. Because as you're sitting there arguing with me, God is giving me, not the questions. I don't know what's going on in your pea brain, but I do know one thing. I get all these things that I see and I say them, and then you say, how did he know that? He must be talking to my wife. No, the I Am sent me. Have another zinger from the I Am. With my compliments, by the way. My love and affection. So now, I say, Jesus is God. He is the I Am. And the I Am has sent me unto you. Now the debate is over. You have no more arguments. Now it's excuse time. Your last shot, your last moment of glory. We're going to shoot that all full of holes too. John 8:59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is the last straw with Jesus. This is the time, and I'm going to warn you, Christian, when you get to the point that you could pick up stones, take up stones to cast at him, Jesus is going to hide himself and go out of the temple. Now, that makes him sound like some kind of weakling. Oh, I'm afraid you're going to hit me with rocks. No, wait a minute. Don't get ahead of me. They took up stones to cast at him. See, you've made every excuse in the world. None of them flew. Here's the last one. I can't help it. Now, what does stones mean? It comes from a Greek word that has two meanings. Number one meaning, a millstone. Number two meaning, a stumbling stone. Your last two excuses. Now, here's what I hear. Christian, watch this, because I'm talking to people in this room. After you go through all your excuses, the end of the counseling, the end of the sermon, you throw a millstone. You pick up a millstone to throw at me. Millstone means a heavy burden. Oh, brother, you just don't know what it's like. There's only one thing that I regret in terms of my musical talent. Had I had the foresight, I would have taken violin lessons a long time ago. Because, you see, after we go through all this rigmarole and you give me all the excuses, then it's violin time. It's heavy burden time. And you think you're making excuses, and Jesus says, you're taking up stones to cast at me. Your stupid excuses do not get sympathy from God. He looks at it as you picking up stones to cast at him. Now, the first stone you'll always pick up is the heavy burden stone. This is for all you martyrs. Heavy means something that's weighty beyond the average. You always have a heavier load. And Jesus isn't quite enough for you. It works for everybody else, but not for you. It takes 1,000 times longer with you because you have a heavy burden. You have a millstone. So you always have a problem that's way beyond the average. And when you use that as an excuse, that's the same as taking up a stone. You're taking up that and say, here, this is my excuse. You gave me a problem heavier than anybody else's. You liar. Heavy also means something hard to endure. Something distressing beyond the average. Your problems are always worse than everybody else's. And somehow or other you think that you're impressing God or this preacher with your sick moaning and groaning about how difficult things are. And I'm telling you what you do every time you do that. You're just taking up stones to cast at Jesus. That's an excuse for you to say, no, 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 this burden is too heavy for you. Nobody could handle this. This is why I'm... See, I have a worse problem than everybody else. Heavy also means hard to do and hard to manage. Always putting yourself in a position of making excuses. And understand this, all the defenses you've made have been shot out right from under you. Well, so are the excuses going to be shot. Just stay with me. Heavy also means very difficult. Very sorrowful. Heavy means to be depressed, overcast, and gloomy. Sounds like a weather report, doesn't it? You're always overcast and gloomy. That's why there's always humidity in your life. There's water coming. You lose control of all your openings. There's humidity everywhere. You sweat, you tear, you slobber, and you snot. That's despicable. But you know why there's so much humidity, why there's so much moisture? Sweat, slobber, spit, and tears. Because you are overcast and gloomy. Now, why are you overcast and gloomy? What causes overcast and gloomy on the weather report? Listen, low pressure coming in. Depression, they call it a depression coming in. Low pressure causes overcast, gloomy, cloudy, and humidity. See, you're a walking weather report. I can see the clouds coming from miles away. Because you're always overcast and gloomy. And you think that's an excuse. And when this preacher sits with you and says, look, that's no excuse. Your mother was wrong. You were wrong. Your dad was wrong. You're not following God. You're doing the lusts of your devil. And all your problems are what you're doing. And then you pull the heavy burden routine on me. You're the same as picking up a stone and say, here, Jesus, this is what I think of you. This is why I'm like I am. How dare you tell me it's my mother and dad? How dare you tell me it's me? Here, this is the way it is. Well, they picked it up, but they ain't going to throw it. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. It's a heavy burden, a millstone. Burden means anything one has to bear or put up with. Well, I thought Jesus took our infirmities. Well, he did. The problem is you think you're Jesus. See, the very thing you're accusing me of is what you're doing. Burden means a heavy load, weighed down with a heavy load and oppressed. Well, that's not going to work, Christian. Why not? I'm going to tell you why. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So much for your millstone. Your millstone is just now shot, isn't it? Now, I didn't say you didn't have one. I said it isn't of God, because God says my burden is light. And you keep telling me you have a millstone. Now, either you're lying or Jesus is lying. And I know that it's you, only you don't like the truth. That's why you're not free. You don't know the truth. You're relying on your heavy burden mentality. You are picking up a stone and saying to the preacher and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my excuse. Even though you tried them all and he shot them all down, now you're trying to cast a stone at him. You're picking it up. I know what your intent is to cast it, but Jesus hit himself. Now, if Jesus hit himself, he's going to hide me too. So see, yeah, your millstone is shot. Well, after the millstone always comes the stumbling stone. Now, the stumbling stone is a little different. It's the thing that you use after you tell me how heavy duty everything is. Now you come and you tell me about the stumbling block or the stumbling stone, which is the stone that you took up to cast at Jesus. Say, this is the reason. Stumbling stone means, or stumbling block means, an obstacle, a hindrance, or a difficulty standing in the way of understanding or progress. I don't understand and I don't get healed because of this obstacle, this hindrance, this difficulty, this stumbling stone, this thing that I have here. It's not my fault. It's this thing that's in my way. It's this difficulty, this hindrance. That's the problem. See, Jesus, this is the reason. Preacher, this is the reason. Don't tell me it's my mother. It's this thing here, this obstacle, this stumbling stone. All right? Let's see. I agree with you, by the way. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Now, all we have to do is look up the word stumble. And you're right. You are a stumbling block. Stumble means to go in an unsteady or awkward manner, as from age, weakness, or sickness. Well, I leave it up to the younger people. I've done my bit. You liar. Joshua and Caleb were still doing their bit at 80 plus. Moses was over 100 years old and still putting up with all the jerks in the nation of Israel. Abraham, God only knows, Methuselah. Adam was 900 and something.
Oh, well, I'm just gone beyond my age. I can't handle any mom. Leave it up to the younger people.
You liar. That's just your excuse. You've been saying that since you were 20. So see, you use these excuses. It's the obstacle is my age. But that's from sickness. The ministry that God has called you is to suffer and to accommodate all the virus in the world. See, because virus has to live somewhere. And it's floating all over and it can't find any place. And God has called me to present a temple to the virus. There's not enough mucus in this world, so I have to manufacture some. My ministry is to fulfill the ministry of snots. You're always sick. Now, because you use that as an excuse not to do right, then that you choose your own ministry, you're perpetually sick. But it's a stumble, a stumbling block. But stumble doesn't only mean that. See, first you use the age, the weakness, and the sickness routine. And then stumble means to speak or act in a confused, blundering manner. Now here's how the stumbling block is. You act dumb. And you know, God has never given you an Academy Award. Not because you're not a good actor. You're not acting. You are dumb. That's why there's no prize for you. You really are that dumb. You thought you were acting. Well, I'll just pretend like I don't know. You don't know. You're confused. You're dumb. Now, I don't mean you lack intelligence. You don't speak. You're mute. Dumb means to be mute. You know the truth. You hear it all the time. You just won't speak it. You're dumb. You're mute. So you speak and act in a confused, blundering manner. Now, let me define that. How people who speak and act in a confused, blundering manner act, by definition again. Stumble means something that comes by chance. Well, I got sick and I just don't know why. And yes, that went wrong in my life, but I didn't do it. It was just chance. I just, not very lucky. See, that's what you do when you act confused and blundering. It means to believe things come by chance. See, you look at what's in your life, and that's no chance. That came for a reason. And the reason is you. But see, you take this stumbling stone and you say, sister, why did that come if you did nothing? I don't know. I just happened to be here and it just fell and just jumped out of the furnace and there it was. Jesus says, look, when you act the things and talk like things just come by chance, you are taking up a stone to cast at Jesus, because he told you why it comes. It comes because you do the lust of your father. That's why it comes. And you said, no, it came by chance. Take that. But understand,
They took them up, but they never threw them. The word stumble not only means something to come by chance, but it means something that just happens. Look it up in your dictionary. How many hours have I spent with people telling that just didn't happen? There had to be a reason, and the reason is something you did, that you learned from your father. That's why it happened. But you say, no, it just happened. It just came by chance. I don't know why it happened. I don't remember why it happened. I can't see how it happened. I don't hear how it happened, and I don't know what happened. I say, wow, you got a problem here. You can't see, you can't hear, and you can't talk. Yeah, I don't know. Did you know what brother such and such did yesterday, though? Man, and then you start giving me a long list of things that somebody did. I said, well, wait a minute. I thought you couldn't see, hear, or talk. Somebody must have come in and said, heal, sister. Because all of a sudden, you can see everything in somebody else. And I ask you, why did that happen to you? I don't know. But do you know what he did? And she, I said, wait a minute. Now, something is wrong here. It just didn't happen. And then here comes the last part of the definition of the word stumble. It's a mistake. I just made an error. Can't you forgive me? I mean, forgive me. Forgive you for what? Because I made a mistake. No, you committed a sin. See, God's never going to forgive you for saying it was an error. I didn't mean it. See, that's why most Christians are not forgiven. I listen to how you confess. Oh, please forgive me. I didn't mean that. You lie. See, what you're saying is it's an error. I didn't mean it. And God says, no, that's a stumbling stone. That's something you're picking up to cast at me. I said you did that because you're a sinner and you're doing the lusts of your father. But you say, oh, forgive me. Dear sister, forgive me. I had no intention. You forget that I've seen you do that time after time after time. Now, listen, how many times do you have to do it before I can prove intention? Man, I don't have to be a lawyer. I could hang you in 10 seconds. But no, you say, it was an error. I didn't mean it. Now, you're admitting that you did wrong, but you're not confessing. Because you're saying, I didn't mean it. It was just a mistake. No, I say, you meant it. You planned it. It's what you wanted to do. It's the lust of your father. It's the way you've always been. And until you admit that, you're not going to be free of it. You keep saying, it's an error. I didn't mean it. It just happened. It just happened because I'm old. See, age doesn't mean just old. I know how you are. There was a time when you said, oh, I'm too young to do that. And then all of a sudden you became too old to do that. So if you were too young to do it when you were young and you're too old to do it now, you just didn't want to do it, did you? Because it's always the same excuse, age. It doesn't mean just advanced age. It just means you're using the excuse of your age. And then there's the ones that say, well, I've only been a Christian 1 year. I've only been a Christian 2 years. I've only been one 5 years. I've only been one 10 years. And you go on and on and on. They say, oh, I've been one too long now. Just casting stones at the man. Well, let the young people do it now. See, that being the young people got you out of it until now that you're not the young people anymore. Now you're out of it because you're not the young people. But you were out of it before because you were the young people. You see, you're casting stones at Jesus. Or taking them up anyway. See, the last outpost, the last thing. And let me tell you something that's frightening. You're going to see here in a minute that when you pull this routine on Jesus, he's gone. And the minute the truth leaves, you know who comes? The anti-truth. And tribulation starts. Well, the individual says here, I'm confused. This is a stumbling stone. Stumbling means to go in a confused manner. says, I'm confused. I don't understand, Reuben. I don't know. I don't remember. Give me a break. Don't understand. I don't know. I don't remember. It just happened. It's an accident. I didn't mean it, but I don't know what I didn't mean, but I know I don't mean it. Well, how do you know you didn't mean it if you don't know what you did? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I walk out of your houses and I say, Lord, there must be a big blessing there for me somewhere. Because I don't understand what I just heard. And I go home sometimes and I start thinking about what you said. And then I start laughing. I say, yeah. Better than Rodney did. You guys, some of you would be great comics, you know that? And then I understand. And I have nothing but pity for you, because there was I. Until somebody like me stood right in my face and kept telling me the truth. So I'm going to stand in your face and keep telling you the truth. You are confused. Confused means to be mixed up mentally. It means to jumble together. It means not to have the ability to distinguish between things. In other words, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. That's what you find. Well, I didn't know. See, you want to use the confused routine. I'm a Christian, and I just didn't know. I'm confused. I didn't know the difference between the two. Well, I didn't know what was going on. Don't you understand, brother? I'm confused. I'm sincere, and I love the Lord. I'm just confused. Oh, yeah? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. So if you're claiming confusion, you are hanging yourself. For God is not the author of confusion. So the bottom line is, you're still a mess. See, even your stumbling block, even acting like you're confused and you don't know, is nothing more than an attempt to pick up a stone to cast at Jesus and say, well, this is the reason. Say, God says, well, I know you are confused. I've been telling you all along, you are of your father the devil. Now you're admitting, I'm confused. And he says, yes, you are. But God is not the author of your confusion. The devil, your father, that's the one that has you confused. There's where you're getting the stones to cast. There's where you get your millstone and your stumbling stone. God is not the author of what's wrong in your life. And Satan can't, God won't, I didn't. Nobody else cares, so who does that leave? You. So much for your stumbling stone. Now I'm going to tell you the scary part as I closed. They took up these stones to cast at him. And you think back at our counseling sessions when you start giving me the millstone and the stumbling stone routine. I don't know why, but I always had a desire to do the following, and I did it. I know why now. The first thing it says, Jesus hid himself. Now that doesn't mean he ran away. Jesus is not a wimp. The word hid comes from the Greek word to judge oneself. And decide you are right. See, you are hid from the truth. They say, hey, okay. You say you're confused. You give all these excuses and you say that's the reason. Now I'm going to hide myself. I'm going to judge myself. I'm right. That's my judgment. I'm right in what I told you. So I'm hiding myself. In other words, Jesus, it means really Jesus judged himself to be right. Now, at that point, look what a gentleman he is. He says, all right, we obviously have a difference of opinion here. So now I'm going to have to make a judgment here. Now, had I judged myself to be right, that's what Jesus said. Now, had you agreed with Jesus, then Jesus would have said, I judge us both right. How could you agree with Jesus, him say he was right and you be wrong? No, he says, all right, that's what you want to stay with? Fine. I will judge myself to be right. So that makes you wrong. Now, once he did that, he says, it says he went out of the temple. the sacred place. So see, at the end of this message, I'll tell you what's happening. See, if Jesus hid himself when he spoke the word of God or judged himself to be right, hid himself means judged himself to be right. So if Jesus hid himself when he spoke the word of God or judged himself right, then Jesus must hide me, judge me to be right when I speak the word of God. So now we're both right. And you're wrong. Now, as soon as he made that judgment, he went out of the temple. Good night. I'm going home. I'm right, and you're wrong. Now, all those that have agreed with this message are judged right along with me and Jesus. All those that do not agree, good night. Brother Duane, would you close the services in prayer?